Welcome to Empowered Women series. And at Empowered Women series, we talk to inspiring women and bring these conversations to aspiring women leaders. Today, we have with us Lisa Tanser of Life is Good. She's the president of Life is Good. And as you all know, Life is Good is the brand which believes in power of optimism, something that all of us need so much right now. And that's what I am very curious to know about. And that's what I'm going to ask Lisa about. Are you ready, Lisa?
I'm ready. Thank you for having me.
So, first question is, I obviously know you believe in optimism. And we do believe too, but our belief stops at belief. So if we in these uncertain times, if we want to believe more in optimism or bring more optimism in our lives, what should we do?
Life is good. We learn this lesson very early on. And it's about trying to focus on the good. So it's very easy. The company started actually by two brothers who were trying to start a t-shirt business and talked about why the news was so negative. And I said, well, maybe we could just have a brand where you focus on something positive. And it started with simple pleasures from the beach to ice cream to running, the things that they love to do. But we learned over time that that's a pretty simple practice if you try to train yourself to focus on what's good, instead of all the other things around you that you might perceive to be bad or negative news, and what you focus on grows. So that's a practice that we try to teach ourselves and to communicate through our apparel and accessories.
Yeah, like you
Like your
mentioned everything, and you did
sloth.
not mention my dear sloth.
Yes. And you decide you like simplicity, right? And you said you like to take things slow. So it's a reminder to yourself, right, how to focus on those things that are important to you.
And I did think like, I was one of those people who did think that, what you wear and all those things, it didn't really matter because other people would see it. And, but it does, wearing what you believe in, wearing what you want a reminder of is such an important thing. And so this is about, Life is Good. This is about your brand. Your company's brand. What about Lisa? Like, how do you remain optimistic?
Yeah, I feel very fortunate that I work for a brand and a company that's so aligned with, my own personal goals and beliefs from way back when. So I think I've always been an optimistic and resilient person. So I've certainly had my share of setbacks, and it's how you handle those setbacks. You can kind of put your head under the covers and, not move forward or say, okay, this is a pretty big setback right here. What are the opportunities within it? So, I'll always take a minute if something not so good is going on in my life to absorb that and not try to brush it completely aside, but then very quickly to stay optimistic about, okay, this is a problem that we can fix. This is a problem that I can solve. I can call in my resources, my friends, my family for help in order to find ways in order to stay optimistic and positive and focus on those things. So, the brand is very aligned with my own beliefs. One simple thing that I use that we actually learned a lot through our customers in the very early days of Life is Good, we would hear stories from people who were facing really tough adversity, illness, death of a loved ones, and they would write to Life is Good saying, "Thank you so much for helping me remain optimistic. I wear your shirts either every chemo appointment, or I gave them out at the funeral of a loved one of somebody who was, an optimist or someone who inspired me." And through these stories, we learned they all had kind of one simple thing. It's they would change their have to's to get to's in order to stay positive. So, do you have to go to the supermarket, or do you get to go to the supermarket because you have access to a car, food, refrigeration? Do you have to go to that meeting, or do you get to go to that meeting because you have a job, you have colleagues, you have things that you can work on? And the stories that we heard from people, that's the one that really stuck with me. And I actually think it sticks with a lot of people who we come in contact with. It's all your frame of mind. You have a choice every day how you want to, how you want to view things. you can view them as have-tos or you can view them as get-tos. So that helps keep me positive and just focused on moving forward.
I really like that thing that you talked about, have to and get to. And I, while you were talking, I started counting in my head that just during last few months, during last few months, how many have to's have become get to?
Like, right.
Like we used to say that, you know, exactly, grocery shopping. Like, I have to do grocery shopping. Now, if I ever get to go to grocery store, I feel like, oh my God, this is such a fun. There are real people here and real food on aisles.
You do appreciate now, right? More than ever, those little things. I have a son, he's an adult son. He's 23 and he plays baseball. And every summer he plays 40 baseball games and I still try to go to as many as possible. But oftentimes they're at 8 p.m. in Boston after a long day of work. And I would catch myself last summer being like, you know, game 30, 32, I have to go to a baseball game. And I said, this summer, baseball never looks so good. You get to go out. You get to be around other people. You have some place to go. You're in the fresh air. It's an activity. You know, you just appreciate things now, I think, differently than you did before, stuff you took for granted.
Yes. Yeah. And I have... After hearing you, I'm going through the list that, and I'm going to try not to take things for granted and change my have to's to get to. They have changed in last few months, but more so.
Yeah.
You know, all of us want to make this world better. Most of the people that we know are nice people, thankfully, are nice people. Few are not, but most of the people are nice people and they want to make this world a better world, but there's so many causes around us, so many causes, so many, even in doing good, there is a shiny object syndrome. Like, you know, something becomes the trend of that time and suddenly everyone, you know, for a month or so, I don't want to name any, you know, cause, but how do we, you know, because there's so many causes we could take up to change the world. How do you select a cause? How do you focus on a particular cause and give everything to it?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if your question is like personal or life is good. Do you want me to?
Both.
Okay. So personally, you know, I remember being, I don't know, probably in my 20s and I started working with a nonprofit called Project Joy and we would raise money, you know, for help kids overcome the impact, similar to the work we do now, of poverty, violence, and illness. I was like, so what can I do? I joined the board because they needed a board member. You know, it was a friend of mine from college. He's like, you have a good job. So I threw parties around Boston. That's what I could do. I could raise a little bit of money. And I was like, this feels good to be able to raise some money for a cause that I'm passionate about, but I want to be able to make a bigger impact, but I didn't have any money. You know, a cause. I didn't really have a lot of time. I was a management consultant and traveling. And I thought about, well, what difference can I personally make in the world? And I wrote it down. I said, I'd like to positively impact as many people as I personally possibly can. And that really, for me, started with just simple interactions. You know, how do you make somebody's day? How do you go out of your way for somebody? How do you mentor people who might need mentors? How can I use whatever skills I have if I don't have a lot of money and I don't have a lot of time to make the world a better place? And I think I've really personally just tried to stick with that. You know, my assistant once said to me, who are all these people on your calendar? You're so busy. How I don't even understand what you're doing. And it's, you know, people who reach out who you just might want to, they might want advice or they might need more mentorship or time or something. And I feel really fortunate that over the years, because of that, I've developed a really great support system myself of people who you can just rely on to do certain things. So that's personally how I live my life. Like if I can help someone out, I want to do that. Professionally, life is good. When I mentioned early on, started to get, you know, letters from people facing challenges who turned to the brand. And a lot of those were children, you know, children who are faced with terminal illnesses sometimes wherein life is good, or children with disabilities wherein life is good. And very early on, Bert and John Jacobs, who the founders, started to give money to different children's charities. Over the years, they said, we don't really want to be giving money out to different nonprofits. We actually want to integrate and do the work ourselves. So if you, a little bit at the beginning of my story about a little nonprofit that I was working for that were helping kids actually became the Life is Good Kids Foundation. Probably, so we started that 18 years after we started what was called Project Joy, and Life is Good had donated some money to us over time. We became an integrated model in 2008, where Life is Good is a for-profit and a not-for-profit, one brand. But the not-for-profit is focused on helping kids who are facing trauma, primarily poverty, violence, and illness, find optimism, find self-esteem, find resilience through the power of play. And we decided, and it's been hard to stay on the path to say 10% of our profits at Life is Good go to the Life is Good Kids Foundation. This is the work of the Life is Good Kids Foundation, and we want to leverage that work as much as we can. So for example, in a pandemic, I'll just use that as an example. A lot of people, well, we got to go make donations, X, Y, all, you know, we should give money to all these different organizations. And we say, no, we're going to use what we're good at. What we're good at is art and message, so providing positive messages. So we said, well, how can we do that? So we decided to make things that celebrated healthcare workers, or other essential workers, t-shirts for that. But how can we also use the 10% that we give to the Life is Good Kids Foundation? Well, they do a lot of work in hospitals. They do a lot of work to train the child life specialists and other caregivers in hospitals how to interact with kids who are facing illness and trauma. Well, clearly that's a widespread problem right now. So we always say, let's go back and leverage what we're good at, right? And not try to get distracted by the shiny object. And we get internally and externally pushed to do that. And it's not from a bad place. It's everyone wants to do good. Everyone wants to do more, right? You feel helpless. But if we stick to what we're good at, which is art and message and the work of the Life is Good Kids Foundation with kids, that's how we're going to, that's the best impact we can have because those are our core skills. So it's not without a lot of conversation. It's not without a lot of people, you know, pushing to try to do more, but we know we're good at this. And so that's what we stick with.
I can imagine, because it's difficult enough for a person to do that. I can't imagine how a company would find it difficult, because, you know, as a person, when you are free to make your own decisions quickly, your brains is the only thing, or maybe your family who's involved in making your decisions, and still, like, you know, your friends would ask you to donate for something, you know, in like, there could be so many things you can go on donating to. And yet, you know, I like your advice that figure out what you are good at. Mm-hmm. And what is what, you know, what we do for our day job, for our for-profit, for paying our bills, that we try to figure out what we are good at. And that is what we do. Same thing we can do for nonprofit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that brings me to your, you know, your career journey, which is, you know, obviously I believe that, I truly believe that you have really inspiring career. And obviously it mustn't have happened without some difficult times. Is there any, you know, most difficult moment that, I usually ask this question to all women because, you know, it's easy for women to relate to it and learn from you what you did. Maybe they can do the same thing or do the different thing. So is there any difficult incidents or time that comes to your mind in your career?
Oh, gosh, yeah, there's been a lot. I mean, because first was figuring out how to balance my ambition with also my desire to raise a family. And I wanted to figure out how to do both as best that I could. So I worked full time until my daughter was born. She's 19 now. And at the time that she was born, I was working for, you know, it was like the late 90s, an internet startup that we were fortunate we went public, and then we got sold to another company. And when we got sold, everyone in Boston, the office got absorbed by someone in California. I said, well, gosh, I don't know. What am I going to do? What am I going to do now? I don't really see myself going into an office necessarily 5 days a week and doing that travel again. And I got very fortunate that when people found out that a company was sold, people I used to work with before said, what are you going to do now? So I don't know. I'm not so sure what I want to do now. And they started giving me some consulting projects. And it was all with people I knew. And before I knew it, I was really busy, probably working 40, 50 hours a week doing like strategy and product development projects. But I was able to do it primarily from home and found a way that those 40 and 50 hours a week were going to work within my schedule. I have no issue working 8 to midnight, you know, or whatever the hours were to get the work done. But that also allowed me to be accessible to young children. I always had also help, by the way. I don't think you can work 40, 50 hours a week and not have some help with the kids. And so over a course of many years, I did like 3 or 4 years like that consulting. And then somebody who I knew called me up, the children's entertainment company. So I worked at Hasbro. That was one of my toy company, one of my full-time jobs. A guy I knew from there called me up and said, hey, this new children's entertainment company is starting up and it's between California and Toronto. They need a head of marketing. I think you could do it from home because it has a lot of remote offices. I'm like, that sounds great, because I was itching to get into something more more permanent, you know, than doing the projects. And so I did that for 4 or 5 years, you know, balancing that. And I think so the difficult moments have come, like, how do you continue to grow, stay in the game, you know, have a fulfilling career? Yet I didn't want to be look back saying that I missed those baseball games, you know, too many of them, or I wasn't able to go on a field trip with my kids. And so I feel like there's been a lot of, you know, sometimes you get a sacrifice on what you're doing with your career. Sometimes you get a sacrifice a little bit on your family, but just weaving that through, all the way. But I think it allowed me to, when this position came up, which I should say, I went back into doing some consulting, you know, after full-time jobs. And one of the consulting jobs was the Life is Good Kids Foundation said, we need more than just board help. We need a strategic plan. So I said, yeah, I'll come in the office a couple of days and help with that, you know, more than the regular board work. While I was there, Life is Good, the for-profit side, who I've known for a long time, said, could you do us a favor? We need help. Bert and John just wrote a book with National Geographic. We're doing this book tour. We don't have a plan and it's leaving in 8 weeks. I said, all right, I'll do that as a consulting project. You know, that sounds like a lot of fun, actually. And from there, I realized, oh my gosh, from this consulting, Life is Good is an unbelievable brand, so much depth, so much opportunity. And I took the head of marketing job permanently. And then a year later became president because the Bert and John were ready to focus more on the creative vision side of stuff and less on the operating. So I think the story for a lot of people, like, you don't know what your journey is gonna, you don't know what the journey is gonna be like, you know? And if you're can stay in the game and stay communicating with people, talking to people. You know, your, I don't really like the word network because I view it, the power of your relationships will help you through it. So there were a lot of times where I was like, what am I doing? I'm not leveraging my skills. I want to be doing more. I think I could have a much higher position or make more impact, but I also knew that came with certain sacrifices. So ultimately, I look back now, you know, I'm in my early 50s, my kids are grown, and I feel really fortunate that because I stayed and tried these different experiences and different things, that it led me ultimately to this position, which is a job I love. So I'm very lucky.
Thank you for sharing that. It's like, there's so many things that you said. One, obviously, you know, you didn't say it directly, but don't kick yourself for not doing certain things, like while you're creating balance between your work life and life, there are going to be certain things that you will miss out on. And it sounds like you did regret a bit, but you didn't allow yourself to regret too much about those.
Yeah, because I figured that it's all going to work out in the long run, you know, as long as I was trying my best. So there were definitely times, you know, my daughter did musical theater. And I tell you, if I went to 300 shows, you know, she said, remember that show you missed? I'm like, oh my gosh, I missed one out of like 100. You're going to remember that one, you know? But I more laughed at it to say, you know, I know I'm doing my best, and on career opportunities that I passed by a few really big ones early on when my kids were little, big jobs, and I don't regret that. You know, I don't regret doing that. So yeah, you got to forgive yourself, you know, for things that you might feel bad about, and just move on.
And another important thing you mentioned is staying in touch with people. Like even when you take, a lot of women do decide to focus on their children for a few years. And it's a good piece of advice that keep in touch with people, because it's not as much, it is for, you know, keeping your relationships alive and keeping your network, the word that I don't like either, alive, but it is also for your self-confidence, because if you remain in touch with people and with things, you remain confident that you know you can do these things. Otherwise, a few years of break doesn't really make a difference on actual skill level, but makes a difference on women's confidence level.
I think definitely, and for both the reasons that you said. I mean, I haven't sent a resume in 25 years. Even the consulting work that I did was all based on people who I knew. You know, the entertainment job, which was an amazing job to work from home for 5 years, develop children's television programming, which I loved, and the licensed products, which I loved, was a relationship from somebody who I worked with in Hasbro. Can't figure out the math, but at least 10 years before. But I kept in touch with him over the years, and staying in touch with people in an authentic way makes a huge difference. You're not calling them. I have people who call me every 5 years when they want a job. I quite frankly find it annoying. Like, I haven't heard from you in 5 years. That's a network, you know, that's not a relationship. And I think relationships take a lot of effort. And I think part of the premise of your series is like, women don't have the time. They really need to make the time to build those relationships with the people who they've worked with before or who can mentor them, you know, because over time, that's where your opportunities come from. I wasn't looking for a job when that entertainment thing came along. I was doing the consulting, and the guy called me up. He's like, "Tanzer, I got a job for you." I'm like, I don't want a job. I'm good. He's like, "No, you're going to want this job." And I'm like, "Great. I actually do. I love this stuff. I've worked in the toy industry. I loved entertainment." So the power of relationships is, it's everything. And right now for me, let's just say during the pandemic, right, when this started, and anything from how are we going to access more capital to how's this whole government PPP thing working to, oh my gosh, we need help with certain skill sets that we don't have. I spent a lot of my time at the beginning calling people. What are you hearing? What are you doing? What are certain banks doing? How does this government thing work? You know, what are my options with regard to hiring? And that power of relationships, the people I knew, is why Life is Good is doing very, very well right now. Our business is booming, right? Because people want optimism, and we have a very strong online business. But it's those people who actually, in the moment of panic, I can make some really great phone calls, and people call you back and they want to help you because you've helped them, you know, in the past.
Yeah, and I have seen that, you know, I have seen that generosity of time and generosity of helping people in you, not just today by spending this time with us, but in general. And it makes total sense when you're talking about these things. Like, it is important. It is the basis of forming relationships in the world, the generosity of time. You have to give time to, you know, be able to get something at some point, and also be not transaction oriented that, you know, right now I want a job. That's why I'm getting in touch with you.
Right.
That's a great advice. Thank you so much. And so obviously, you know, it has taken a lot of people's help and support to get you where you are today.
Yes.
And I was going to ask you a question, yes, our premise is that women don't have time, because that is kind of a fact. And if we decide, like, if we really have to make time for, you know, something as important as building relationships, do you have any advice? Like, how can we do it?
Yeah, I mean, to me, It can be as simple as an email or a text checking in with someone just to say how you're doing, you know, or update them on what you've been up to. You know, I once had an intern. This is when I worked for a toy company, internet startup. She was an intern, so she was in undergrad school. Every 6 months, she would just send me a note. Here's what I'm doing. Here's the projects I'm doing at school, or oh, I got my first job. And when she needed help over time, I just felt like, and I'm sure she sent the same letter to many other people, you know, which was fine. But when she came around and looking for help or mentorship, all right, I've followed you for the past, you know, 5 or 10 years. You took time to reach out, but that's not a heavy lift, really. It's not a heavy lift to send a couple emails out or emails or texts and say, here's what I'm up to. What are you up to? You know, for some people, you can schedule a lunch or a phone call, but it's just staying in touch, updating people with what you're doing. It doesn't have to take, like you mentioned, you know, you don't have a whole day. Maybe you said to go play golf or do some of the other stuff, but you still can have time to reach out. I also think there's ways to do things. I saw a lot of women doing things where they would get a group of people together, you know, for a dinner, whether it's like once a month. So a dinner, then you're meeting 10, 15 people at one time and forming a support group. And I think everyone can get it, deserves a dinner a month or, you know, whatever they're trying to do. So there's efficient ways. There's efficient ways to make that happen.
Yeah, I want to do that. That has been, like, you know, before starting with Empower Women series, I was thinking that maybe, you know, we should form a lunch group where we can all come together and discuss what's going on with our careers and help each other. Like, you know, if somebody has, because there are certain things you can discuss at workplace and there are certain things you need an outside support.
Right.
Like needing consultants or therapists. If you're into it, you can't really give each other objective advice.
Also think there are other groups that people, women and men, could join that does make that relationship and, you know, building or getting to in touch with people more efficient, you know.
Yeah.
So there's ways at it. I think it's critical. I think that's, you know, to your second, or I think it was your first point, had to do with confidence. And I have many friends who didn't work for a long time, who were very, very bright, very successful earlier on. And it was time for them to go back. They're like, Lisa, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know what to do. I'm like, okay, well, you need to call 5 people a week that you used to know and tell them, you know, this is what I'm trying to do, but you got to make it a job. But they were nervous, even, do I have the skills to go back? I'm like, of course you had the skills. You had them before, you have them now. But you do lose if you're not continually talking to people, understanding what's going on out there. I do think people lose their confidence pretty quickly, and then have a harder time getting, you know, either back in the workforce or more full time or whatever their preferences are.
Yeah, that's right, Lisa. I mean, a lot of women, like, that is one of the biggest career problems that women have is when they take a break for raising children, they just, and it has nothing else, nothing to do with anything else. It has to do with the confidence level of,
Right.
and I think, you know, your way that you suggested for your friend that, you know, talk to 5 people, get in touch with 5 people every week is a good way, because then obviously, you know, as per what you said earlier, they should keep in touch with a lot of people whenever they have time. But in case they absolutely don't have time, then they can start talking to people whenever they have time to build that confidence back.
Well, in this case, like, you know, a lot of people didn't know that this particular woman wanted to go back to work. So I said, you know, even your friends, you know, it doesn't have to be past colleagues, your friends, people who know you, who have seen you in your volunteer activities, who know how organized you are, how smart you are, your leadership. This person got an unbelievable job in consulting, kind of close back to what they were doing before, a few levels down, but has subsequently moved up within 3 weeks. Because people, yeah, because people knew her. They knew she was a go-getter, right? They've seen her in action. Like, oh wow, you'd come back in and work. I want those skills. But she was nervous at first. What am I going to tell them? What am I going to say that I want to do? Like, they're going to see, they know how good you are, you know, from watching you in action.
Hey, that's the point. Next one is, you know, we know, all of us know about life is good. We know it from outside. We love it. And my question is, how is it to work at Life is Good?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I tell people, it's like a 25-year-old startup. You know, the company's been around now 26 years. We're over $100 million. We're growing. So we're in pretty heavy growth mode the past 3 years, you know, double-digit growth, but now accelerating. So every day is like we're learning and trying to evolve the business. We're changing our business model right now to be closer to market. So in other words, we can come up with a t-shirt design tonight and print it tomorrow morning, one at a time, digitally print it, and then say, oh, which ones are working? Okay, we'll invest in inventory in those, which is a whole different business model than what you would picture an apparel company doing, which is printing a bunch of shirts and putting them in a warehouse. A lot of our marketing efforts are very, I would say, guerrilla marketing, and also like just innovative on social, some of the things that we're doing. So it feels still like, you know, you're going to get your hands dirty and try a bunch of things and probably fail at some and hopefully succeed at a lot more than you fail. But it's a hardworking place. People work really hard, but we try very hard to live our values, which are called the Life is Good superpowers. So the Life is Good superpowers, the brand is about spreading the power of optimism, and the superpowers are our values, things like gratitude, courage, authenticity, fun, humor, creativity. There's 10 of them. And we work really hard to make sure we're living those things. So even through all the entrepreneurial crazy stuff that we do, or how hard everybody's working, you know, we want to make sure people are taking care of themselves, that they feel good about the work that they're doing, that we're having fun while we're doing it. So there's a very deliberate effort to live those superpowers. And that makes going to work enjoyable. Our team is, you know, a very strong team. People do have fun. We laugh a lot. We try to express, it's like a practice of expressing, calling out when you see somebody doing something good, showing appreciation. So it's a pretty special place to work. I know I'm probably biased, so I apologize for that, but I've worked at a lot of other places through my career, and you know, it's special. It's also special because you know you're putting good out there in the world every day. You know, when you're sending a shirt, you don't know who the receiver is, or you're putting a message on social. So we get a lot of letters from people, you know, who are facing really tough stuff, or said, I just needed this dose of optimism. You know, it's a $28 t-shirt primarily, you know, and it's a great way to make yourself feel better. When you're sending out the packages and then you get these letters back, that's all the reward you need, because you did make a difference, you know, in somebody's day oftentimes. So we always focus on that and share the stories that we get back from our community about, you know, how optimism and Life is Good as a vehicle for optimism has helped them.
Wow. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. And sounds like a very exciting place to work at. You are really blessed that you work there.
I am very, I'm very grateful. Because, you know, as I mentioned to you, my 20-year-old goal was to positively impact as many people as I could. And by me, that for me, that was like doing favors for someone or being accessible. To find yourself in a job that ultimately is about positively impacting people, is, you know, I'm very, very grateful for that. I'm very grateful.
What could be better than working every day towards optimism for others?
Yeah.
And
I'm sure there are things for other people, right? That's their passion. That's what I tell people. Your passion might be something else. You know, like your passion might be working in the healthcare field or education. You know, there's, I do think actually there probably are things that are better for an individual person. You know, it's really about the match is very well with my passion, right? And who I am personally. So that's great. Other people, I'm sure, have other ones that would be, you know, as exciting for them.
And your, you know, that respect for other industries, and it can be seen, you being in apparel industry, you are doing things differently. You are having a test and learn approach towards making your apparels, which I'm pretty sure not too many apparel companies have that approach yet. And that itself shows that, you know, your respect and, you know, ability to learn continuously from other industries and get it to your industry. And the very fact that, you know, your 25-year-old startup talks a lot about the culture. So it says to me, it says that you are agile and you are fast-paced like a startup. At the same time, you are grown up like a 25-year-old grown up.
Yes. Yeah, I think everyone in the founders are so visionary. You know, they're lifetime learners. They always want to push and try different things. And I think that kind of, you know, approach, it starts at the top. You know, they don't want to sit back and be like, oh, hey, we built this company for 25 years and it's pretty good at 100 million. They're like, no, we want it to be 300 million, 400 million. So they're driving for, you know, spreading as much optimism as they can.
That's, you know, the goal is great. And the way you are getting there, the journey of life is good, is also beautiful. Because where you are at, I know, you know, being, so we work with a lot of Fortune 500 companies. We work with a lot of startups. And we know that, you know, that the startups want to be like grown-ups. And Fortune 500 companies, we teach them innovation programs to be like startups. So you are a company who actually has both those advantages, and which is, you know, which is an exceptional thing to have. So it shouldn't be very difficult for you to go to that 300 million or 400 million or whatever that you wish while being happy.
Right. That's the key.
Yeah.
We always say we could grow or meet our goals, but we do a culture survey twice a year that we take very seriously. And you can meet your goals and have a bunch of unhappy people working with you. And to me, that would be a massive failure, right? So we measure culture of our team equal to the financial, of equal importance of the financial performance.
It's wonderful. And I love everything that I heard. And I know that before I let you go, I'm going to ask you only one last question, which is, if you were to give, you know, you gave a lot of advices, but if you were to give any one crucial advice to aspiring leaders, what would you say to them?
Yeah, I think it's really about focusing on your passion. Because if you love what you're doing, it doesn't feel like work. You're going to work a lot harder. You'll be a lot more successful. And there's definitely times in my career I found myself in jobs that I didn't have necessarily the personal passion for. And, you know, it felt more like a job. And so if you align those two things, you're gonna do great. So when I graduated from business school, I had job offers that were paid me a lot more money potentially, but I wanted to do consumer products marketing, you know? And so I chose a field that when you're young and you have student loans and no money in the bank, I choose a field that probably paid half or less than half of what my other job offers could have been. But I'm like, but I like this. I like marketing. I like consumer products. So I went that route, and ultimately I think I did well because I enjoyed work. I enjoyed what I was doing. So follow your passion, and then the success has a lot higher likelihood of coming.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.